From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has announced another recall. NHTSA Chief Mark Rosekind says it covers more than 2 million vehicles.
These are Acura, Dodge, Jeep, Honda, Pontiac, and Toyota vehicles from the model years 2002 to 2004.
They're being recalled for faulty airbags that could inflate inadvertently while the car is running. Automakers' earlier attempts to fix the defects didn't work in some vehicles. The Pentagon says Kurdish forces backed by U.S. airstrikes have completely retaken the Syrian town of Kobani from self-declared Islamic State fighters. And U.S. defense officials say more than two dozen U.S. and coalition airstrikes have since been carried out in Iraq and Syria. French authorities have charged five men suspected of being involved in a jihadi recruiting network in a small southern town. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports several town residents have gone to fight in Syria and Iraq.
In the small Mediterranean town of Lunel, population 25,000, authorities say more than 20 young people have left for Syria since October. Earlier this week, in a dawn raid, French police rounded up half a dozen men suspected of running a jihadist ring. The Paris prosecutor's office says five of the men face preliminary charges of criminal association involving a plot to carry out terrorist acts. They remain in custody. The sleepy town, with its significant Muslim immigrant population, has been the focus of French media reports all week. The imam of the local mosque said he knew nothing of men leaving for Syria. France has been on edge since terrorist attacks in Paris in early January killed 17 people. The arrests in Lunel are said to be unrelated to the Paris violence. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News.
Meetings aimed at reopening peace talks on the crisis in eastern Ukraine have ended without an agreement. At the same time, fighting continues between Ukrainian forces and Russian-backed rebels. The BBC's David Stern reports it's particularly intense around the strategic town of Debaltseve.
Debaltseve is a transport hub, a railroad hub, in fact, and seen as strategic. In fact, many people are speculating that the reason why the rebels are focusing on this is that it will make their self-declared republic more economically viable. So the fighting is apparently very intense in and around Debaltseve. We're receiving reports that there's no water, heat, or electricity in the town. There are still civilians that are stranded there, and the shelling is constant.
The BBC's David Stern in Kiev. In Spain, tens of thousands of demonstrators poured into the capital, Madrid, today to rally for the country's newest political party. It opposes austerity measures and promises to boost employment for young people. Supporters are hoping to emulate the recent election success of a similar party in Greece. This is NPR. The Oscar-nominated movie The Imitation Game has prompted a renewed campaign in Britain to pardon men who were convicted of being homosexual during World War II. The film is about Nazi codebreaker Alan Turing, who was convicted of being gay and later committed suicide. He was pardoned posthumously 2 years ago. Larry Miller reports more than 60,000 people have signed a petition to extend the pardons.
49,000 men were prosecuted for being gay or bisexual in Britain. 15,000 are still alive. Although the gross indecency law was repealed in 2003, the convictions stand. Actor Benedict Cumberbatch, who portrays Turing, signed an open letter calling on the British government to issue a blanket pardon and apology. Members of Turing's family also signed it. Speaking to the BBC, Turing's great-niece, Rachel Barnes, explains why.
We all think it is totally unjust that Alan was the only person to receive this royal pardon. So we really, really hope that this petition will be successful.
The open letter calls on the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge and other young leaders to boost the campaign. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Former German President Richard von Weizsäcker has died. He presided over the 1990 reunification of East and West Germany and was the leading voice urging Germans to take responsibility for the Holocaust. Weizsäcker served as an officer in the Nazi military and spoke frequently about Germany's special responsibility after World War II. He was 94. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.